It's good to be together again. This forum for courage to pray together and worship together. And this is, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is National Bible Sunday, so it's a reminder to us of the importance of the Word of God. Some of you use our publication, Pondering the Word, the Ottawa Way. If you look at the front cover, it comes from today's gospel. Come after me and I will make you fishers of men. It's Jesus calling these two men. It looks like that might be, I don't know, Peter and Andrew, because they're not in the boat. Anyway, two fishermen, obviously, and they're being called to follow. So that's where our starting point. The idea that came to mind as I was reflecting on these readings is this slang term you probably have heard, in the zone. In the zone. It's used to describe a person who's especially focused and effective and everything's working. It's common in sports. If they have a basketball player, for example, who it just seems like everything he throws up there goes through the hoop. And after a while, people are saying, boy, this player is having a fantastic game. He's really in the zone. It's kind of slang. Outstanding performance. Everything is working. You can apply it to anything, any kind of performance. Entertainers, musicians, people say, wow, what an outstanding performance that was. What a concert, what a game, what a song. Or if you're a writer, for example, everything just flows. You're writing and it just goes. Or if you're working on a project and everything comes together, you're in the zone. Everything, you make every sale, you finish every project. We could use this term in the zone to describe the experience of the prophet Jonah in today's first reading. God calls him, sends him to the enormous city of Nineveh, the wicked city of Nineveh, to preach to the people there. And in one day, his message hits home. In one day, the people hear him, they take him seriously, they all repent, they do penance, sackcloth and ashes, everything. They turn to God. It's amazing. It's an amazing effect. So you could say Jonah was in the zone. Now he himself, if you remember, was not too happy about it. He might not even have thought he was in the zone, but he did what God told him to do. It wasn't his own power. He was in the zone because he did what God said. Something to keep in mind. When we're doing what God said, it doesn't mean it's what we prefer or what we even experience as being so good, but it's God at work. The gospel gives us another example of doing what God said. These four fishermen, two of them are on the front cover here. Maybe the other two are out in the boat, I don't know. Have to look at the picture. But anyway, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, two sets of brothers. They hear the call of Jesus, and immediately they drop their nets, they leave everything, and they become his disciples. They become fishers of men. The passage doesn't say here what their inner experience was. But it's clear they made the right move. They went with the flow of grace. It's not to say that they were always in the zone. They didn't always remain in the zone. They stumbled. We know that the apostles stumbled badly sometimes. But overall, they were enormously effective as fishers of men. Not because of their own power, not because of their own gifts, but because they did what God said. This is worth thinking about because in the life of faith, the key to being in the zone is, the key to being enormously effective in the kingdom of God is not a matter of good luck or of heroic effort or sacrifice or brilliance or strength. It's not a matter of how impressed people are with us. It's not a matter of how impressed we are or even how we feel about it. Look at Jonah. It's a matter of responding to God, listening to God, and following him. If we're doing the will of God, if we're dedicated to the will of God, freely, wholeheartedly, generously, then He can make our efforts fruitful in His own way, in His own time. His work in us and through us is worth more than we could ever do on our own. All the apostles learned that. And that's what every disciple of Jesus should learn. If we're working on our own, we're not going to be in the zone. We have to be responding to God. So one of the important things in life is to know what God wants of us. What is His will? And a lot of people have said to me in one way or another, well, if Jesus just walked up to me and said, follow me, well, I would follow Him. If He made it so obvious, I would do it. But He doesn't do that. How can I know the will of God when it seems like He doesn't say anything so much of the time? A lot of people say things like that. Maybe you have too. Maybe you have. How can I do the will of God? I don't even know what He's saying or what He wants me to do. It's a rather common complaint. Why doesn't God speak more clearly? Why doesn't He speak more plainly so that we can know what He wants us to do? Now remember, in the experience of the apostles, these first four, He didn't tell them what to do. All He did is tell them, follow me. He didn't lay out the whole plan. This is what it's going to mean today, tomorrow, and the next day. He just said, follow me. That was enough. So they themselves might have said, oh, He didn't tell us very clearly or plainly. They could have made the same complaint, but they didn't. They just did what He said. So it's a difference. But the complaint of most people is, well, he didn't make it clear. He didn't tell me everything. Well, this is connected to today's observance of the National Bible Sunday, or that's the Philippine observance, National Bible Sunday. There's been a day in January for Bible Sunday for years. The Bishops' Conference set that aside. But now in the Universal Church, this is the Sunday of the Word of God. Pope Francis designated this, I think it was 2 years ago. The Sunday of the Word of God. The Church is reminding us today of something that's true every day. That is, the importance of the Word of God. In the Word of God, God is speaking clearly. He's speaking clearly to us. We can't say that God never speaks to us if we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Here it is. We just heard it read. Can't say that wasn't clear to us. It's even amplified by the microphone. It's even sent through the who knows what wireless communication into the ears of people with us online. So we can't say God never speaks to us. The problem is, typically, people say, well, sure, the Bible is the Word of God, but it's His word to somebody else a long time ago. That's how people think of the Bible. God spoke to somebody a long time ago and they wrote it down. So they think of the Bible as an old, dead message. It's kind of like going to a museum. You go to a museum and you see an old parchment. Say, oh, look at what King so-and-so wrote in 1281. Oh, isn't that interesting? Sure, it's interesting. Not really. I mean, it's not very personally moving to know what someone wrote down hundreds of years ago. It might be historically interesting. But people do that with the Bible. Oh, someone wrote that down hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. Very interesting that God said that back then, but it's not going to change my life. Isn't that how people react? Big mistake. Big mistake. We who have faith, we do not treat the Bible or read the Bible as ancient literature. It is ancient, yes, but it's in a category other than ancient literature. The Word of God is alive and active. It's a living word, and it is addressed to us right now, today. It's addressed to the few people who are here in this chapel. It's addressed to the few people online. In fact, the whole church is hearing this word that we're pondering right now. In fact, part of the purpose of a homily is to awaken us to how these scripture readings apply to us right now, so that we don't think of it as, oh, what God said to Jonah. How do they apply to us now? How does a hearing about Jonah being in the zone apply to us and help us get into the zone? How does seeing four fishermen respond to Jesus show us how to respond to Jesus? That's how it works. So don't make the mistake of putting the Word of God into a little box on a shelf, or leaving it so far away, over the Word of God is way over there, so that we can't hear it. Common mistake, but a bad mistake. Because then if we say, I can't hear God, I don't know what he's saying, can't blame him, because we left him on the shelf. Since we live in an age of wireless communication, it's easier to think of this way. If you don't have your cell phone on, or if you don't have a signal, well, then you're not going to receive the messages, or you can't connect to the internet because you don't have a signal. Well, whose fault is that? In this case, we have to turn the phone on or charge up the battery or whatever we have to do so that we can receive. God does not stop speaking, and the word is not a dead word, but we have to receive it. So the question is then, well, what is God saying to us? What is God saying to me right now? What is God saying to me right now? Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know what God wants to say to you right now? Because a lot of times people don't really want to know. Many times I have had people come to me and ask about one or another spiritual challenge, and I tell them what is pretty clearly God's will, and I never see them again. That's the end of that. I know, I'm not saying they didn't hear it or they didn't act on it, but I don't see any evidence of it. Do we really want to know? It's actually quite easy. I can easily point out a few things right here, straight from this gospel passage. I don't even have to interpret it. Jesus says it himself very clearly. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. There it is. So when someone says, well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What does God want me to do? Well, start with this. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's a good starting point. Repent and believe in the gospel. If we don't want to repent, if we don't want to change, if we don't want to leave sin behind, then we can't really say we don't hear God. We don't want to hear him. And if we don't want to hear him, we won't, unless he really shouts. We won't. If that's not clear enough, you can look a few verses down in this same gospel. What does Jesus say? Come, follow me. Come, follow me. That's the will of God. That's the will of God for us. It's right here. In today's psalm, the response, the beautiful response that we repeated is, teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord. That's the way to get into the zone. Say to the Lord, teach me your ways. It's like saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Another beautiful prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Teach me your ways. The psalm says it quite beautifully. This is Psalm 25. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way. Actually, he teaches everyone his way. But the humble are the only ones who are willing to listen and follow. Teach me your ways, O Lord. When we say, teach me your ways, O Lord, and then he says, okay, repent and believe, then we have to do it. We asked him to teach us, and he says, okay, now repent and believe and follow me. But then we have to do it. This is where the trouble comes. We have to be ready to leave the nets behind. Abandon those nets. The nets, of course, in the case of those four fishermen, were their livelihood. They were legitimate means of supporting themselves and their families. But we can take the nets in a more negative way as anything that entangles us, anything that snares us, and there are lots of snares that have to be abandoned if we're going to get in the zone. Since I'm talking to courage, you know the experience of hearing the Lord say, I'm calling you to chastity. And then the reaction of nature is, oh, chastity. Well, maybe I asked the wrong question. You know, St. Augustine's famous reaction, oh yeah, Lord, make me chaste, but not yet. That's it. You're not in the zone because he doesn't say yes to the, he asks God to teach him, but not, he doesn't really want to follow. The Lord says, okay, drop the nets, drop that relationship, or stay away from those websites, or stay away from that way of thinking, or anything that triggers a fall. That's what, those are the nets. Those are the things that have entangled us. And there's lots of nets. There's whatever sin patterns we have, or whatever attachments we have, attachments to money, attachments to gambling, attachments to Facebook, attachments to whatever, shopping, relationships, the wrong kind of relationships. Social media is a big net, and a lot of people are getting dragged down from it all the time. So we have to drop those nets. That's clear from the gospel. If we understand the nets in the negative sense, we have to drop those nets with God's help. Now, it's not easy to drop nets or to untangle ourselves. But if we don't, how can we be fishers of men? If we're not free, how can we proclaim freedom to others? So this is a daily opportunity, a daily challenge to leave the nets behind and follow the Lord. Yeah, in this gospel reading, they drop their nets and they follow the Lord. It sounds like that's it. Sure, they don't have to pick up their nets again, but the very next day they have their anger issues, they have their division among themselves, they have their memories of what they'd like to go back to, they have their bad habits, they have their bad language, and lots of things that are still nets that they're carrying around with them, and they have to drop those nets too. This is the Christian life. I hope I'm not making it sound too negative. It's a challenge. Why do we need the Bible Sunday, National Bible Sunday? Why do we need the Word of God? Because with the strength that comes from the Word, and with the direction that comes from the Word, then we can make progress. We need to listen to His Word every day, not just once and then we start our journey. Every day, so that we can know His will every day, so that we can be in the zone every day, the zone of His grace, not the zone of what satisfies us or what makes us feel like we're doing everything right. The zone of His grace, the zone of freedom from sin. A good confession gets us in that zone. The zone of freedom from fear, the zone of mercy, the zone of God's love, the zone of God's love. That's where we belong. That's where He calls us to be. Okay, so don't wait. I won't dwell on the second reading, but the reading is, time is running out. Don't act as if we'll be like this forever or we'll be in this situation forever. Everything in this world is passing away, so let's use it for the kingdom, not to entangle us. Don't wait. Listen, repent, believe, drop those nets, and follow the Lord.